Make sure you're subscribed to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Type The Word of the Lord Endures Forever in your podcast provider. Hit that subscribe button and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
If you must run your mouth, St. Paul seems to be saying, find a way to use it to give thanks and praise to God.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of Ephesians.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. Well, in our previous podcast, we heard St. Paul give a virtual litany of what goes out and what comes in the Christian life. For nearly every vice, there was a corresponding virtue. Out goes falsehood in all its forms. In comes speaking truth to our neighbors, God's truth. Since we now belong to each other and we're members of a single body, out goes holding on to anger, thus giving the devil the chance to sow bitterness and resentment. In comes reconciliation before sundown and bedtime each day. Out goes stealing. In comes industriousness with an eye toward blessing others. Out goes corrupting talk that invites others into sin. In come the words that build up and give grace. And in all of this, we don't make the Holy Spirit sad since He sealed us for the day of our redemption. We live toward His future with bitterness, wrath, and anger, and fighting, and nasty words, and malice, and all history, replacing them with kindness, with forgiveness. A reading from Ephesians, the 5th chapter, beginning at the 1st verse. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Ephesians 5, verses 1 to 6. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, since you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort from your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Ready to ponder God's word for today? Let's dig into it. Verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. Sometimes we heirs of the Reformation cringe a little at the exhortation to imitate. Now, it's true that first and foremost, our Lord Jesus Christ is given us as our Savior, as the one whose blood wipes out our sins, as St. Paul had just made clear. But He is also given to us as a model to imitate. When St. Paul says, imitate God, I think he has that in mind. Imitate the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom the deity dwells bodily, God in our flesh. He shows us how to live as beloved children because, of course, he is the beloved Son. And when you think of his life, you can't help but think of it as being, above all, filled with rock-solid trust in his heavenly Father, receiving all things as a gift from his hand, and not doubting his love even in the hardest moments. Now, there are plenty of times when we feel downright hypocritical imitating Christ, doing what we know he'd want us to do, because, well, we honestly want, with our fleshly wanter, the exact opposite. St. Paul knows that full well. Remember, this is the man who wrote Romans 7, okay? But there is this odd truth that sometimes when we act quite contrary to the way we feel and do so in obedience to the will of God, we end up finding ourselves blessed indeed. You know what I mean, right? Like when you just planned on a few minutes of peace and quiet for yourself and suddenly your neighbor is knocking at the door needing something, you may put on a happy face and go out to help him even though you're disappointed at the interruption. But if you do that in imitation of God as a beloved child, you end up in the long run being blessed that you did so, and you realize that once again, God gave you the best gift right there in your neighbor's need. You end up with the proper feeling because you acted in obedience to God even without that feeling. Verse 2, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And here is the constant call of the Christian life, to make our lives an offering of love and sacrifice to God exactly as Christ's own, to learn to pray with Jesus in Gethsemane, not my will, but thine be done. So love, at its heart, is sacrifice. And sacrifice, at its heart, is just giving yourself back to God. Because our self-offering is always tentative, filled with fears and doubts, and, well, so often grudging, our self-offering is only acceptable in the perfect human life that was once rendered back to the Father, and that would be the life of Christ himself. His sacrifice covers all our imperfections, but he invites us into that way of living as the only true life there is in this whole universe. And that leads to a very practical consequence. Verse 3. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. The mark of sexual immorality, impurity, and covetousness is that all of them do not regard other people as people, but as objects. Objects that we desire to use for this or that purpose, and once they've served that purpose, we're done with them. I mean, think of how the whole point of making pornography is to get the person using it to forget that the actors in front of them are actual people, real people, you know, with moms and dads and brothers and sisters and hopes and fears and so on. Similarly, the covetous person who regards others only as customers, nothing more than a means to the end of increasing one's wealth. Neither of these is how saints, the holy people of God, are to behave, because in Christ, we have been opened up to the path of love, which sees others not as objects for us to use, but as gifts from our loving Heavenly Father for us to come to know and cherish. Verse 4. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which is out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. Okay, I confess that I dislike this verse in a way. I mean, I appreciate the double entendre as much as the next guy. But St. Paul points out that there's no place in the life of God's holy people for the sly sexual innuendo or for talking to no point, let alone for making dirty jokes. He invites us as God's holy ones to replace this in our lives with, of all things, thanksgiving. The church, in her essence, is the company of those who are called to give thanks at all times and in all places. If you must run your mouth, St. Paul seems to be saying, find a way to use it to give thanks and praise to God. So, instead of the lewd comment or joke, St. Paul invites to praise be to God for the gift of beauty. Imagine how much more glorious it shall be in the kingdom. Thank you, Father, for this glimpse here of heavenly perfection. Wow. Do you hear how that kind of stops the corruption dead in its tracks? And what more beautiful life can be lived than a life that overflows with thanksgiving? And that, people loved by God, is the life of Christ. Verse 5. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. I do think it's easy to mishear what St. Paul is saying here. His point is not that if you are sexually immoral or impure, you're in danger of losing the kingdom of Christ and God, though that's certainly true. He's rather commenting on your current state. What did Jesus say? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, Matthew 6:21. If you are chasing nothing but the pleasure other people can afford you, you haven't yet discovered the very joy of the kingdom itself in the gift of those people. You've missed out on the inheritance that Christ and his Father are giving you right then and there. So it's not merely a threat about missing out on some future kingdom. And that's why St. Paul didn't put it in the future tense, but in the present. He didn't say will have no inheritance, but has no inheritance. The person who chases through this life, blindly scratching every itch, never gets to discover the joy of that kingdom that is waiting to meet them literally at every turn. Oh Lord, deliver us all from such blindness. Verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Let no one deceive points to the sad reality that it is possible to speak empty words, and that is, words that are devoid of the power of God because they've been gutted. They've muted his call to repentance. Let me be blunt. There are those today who work it all like this. We're all sinners, but God has forgiven us all in Christ, and this means you're free to continue in your sin and your rebellion, and you never have to worry about the consequences of disobedience since Christ has already taken care of that for us all on his cross. That, my friends, is precisely the misuse of the gospel that the apostle warns against right here in this verse. Repentance and faith are joined at the hip. There is no such thing as the one without the other. The Lutheran Book of Concord puts it like this. In a word, there is no inner repentance unless it also produces the outward putting to death of the flesh. We say that is John's meaning when he says, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. God never winks at disobedience and rebellion. St. John Chrysostom preached to his congregation in 4th century Antioch, sons of disobedience. He thus calls those who are utterly disobedient those who disobey him. That is, those who imagine that because of Christ's cross, they may continue blithely along the path of fornication and immorality and covetousness, the idolatry of mammon. St. Paul's point is that Christ's blood has freed you from slavery to these things, and that continuing in them and yet claiming the benefit of the blood? Well, as the writer to Hebrews put it, how much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace? Hebrews 10, verse 29. And with that solemn warning not to trifle with grace, we're going to wrap up for today. In the next section, St. Paul unpacks for us how not to get stuck in the trap of the darkness we used to live in, apart from grace, apart from Christ, apart from walking the path of love. He speaks of our calling to expose the shameful way of life, and he doesn't mean by gossip. He means by shining the light that beams from love. Till next time, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check. Make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.